please quiet your cell phones and electronic devices as we listen to Diane's prelude? Thank you, Diane. That was beautiful. Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. We're so happy to see everyone here after kind of a wild ride of a week with warm spring weather and then wind and winter snow and treacherous driving and lots of heavy-duty shoveling. Please sign the friendship sheet and pass it back to the center aisle and take notes of any visitors. If you are a visitor, we hope you'll leave your phone number or your email address or a mailing address so that we may get in touch with you. Before we greet each other, I would like to call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. There are quite a few important ones. Ash Wednesday will be this Wednesday night at 6:30 in the inner room, and there won't be a soup supper tonight. On Wednesday night, but there will be on the following Wednesday nights. And so if you would like to bring soup, you can sign up on the bulletin board out in front. Also, there will be a Lenten prayer vigil, and you may sign up for a time for that. Excuse me. I think you can go over the rest of those for yourself. I know that Jane and Colin have an announcement now.
You up. Come here. This will work? Okay.
What do I say? Say I'm Colin Stewart. I'm Colin Stewart.
I'm four.
I'm four.
And I've been playing piano.
And I've been playing piano for 5 months.
And I won an award.
And I won an award.
And I'm going to Laramie.
And I'm going to Laramie.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
He loves piano, which I'm glad. I'm talking about the Hot Diggity Dog potluck in 2 weeks. Cal and I know you're tired of us asking for money, but we do need new sanctuary light bulbs. We've got some burned out in the sanctuary. He got two bids. They're $100 a piece. So we thought we'd have a little potluck bingo party. And if you don't like hot dogs, or don't have a hot dog dish, you can bring salad or dessert, and then we're going to play bingo afterwards with some household prizes. And we're also going to be painting the fellowship hall on the 25th. And just to kind of spruce it up, people have asked me, have been telling me they'd like to get it painted, and so it'll look a little bit better. And if you have any spare change, go ahead and put it in one of the offertory envelopes and mark it down for light bulbs. Thank you.
Are there any additional announcements? Okay. Well, before we sing our opening hymn in the garden, which is 227 in the Chalice Hymnal, please stand and greet one another.
Thank you.
Now please join me in the call to worship. God planted a lovely garden. Humanity's sin cast us out.
Jesus prayed and wept in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Do we weep for our sins?
To prepare for the season of Lent, let's till the soil of our souls.
Let us be open to God's word being planted in us like holy seeds. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we may not have thought of prayer as a garden or of your words as seeds, but we know that your words entering our hearts and minds change us and help us grow as your people. Let our hearts be fertile soil as we pray together the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. If you would, please turn in the Red Chalice Hymnal to page 75. We'll sing together, I Was There to Hear Your Mourning Cry.
Thank you.
like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Good morning, everybody. Max has on a sheriff's mask today. That's pretty cool. I have a little bit of show and tell to share with you all. This is a basil plant. It has a very unique smell. If you want to smell it, smell the leaves. Kind of a strong smell. You can use it in Italian cooking. Do you want to smell it, Carson? Smell the leaves. So this is basil. And part of the reason I brought it to share is that a year ago, last spring, Max and Colin took two little tin cans and they painted them different colors. Thank you. Do you guys remember doing that? You filled them with dirt and you put seeds in them, and your mommy brought them to my house as a May basket, as a Happy May Day gift. You remember? Well, this little basil plant was in one of those little cups. It was one of the seeds that you had planted. You planted it. And I had it in my windowsill, and it grew, and it grew, and I've watered it, and it kept growing. And I put it into a little bigger pot instead of that little can you had planted it in. And it's growing up tall. And I have taken some of the leaves off, and I've used the leaves in cooking. That's why it doesn't have more leaves on it, because I keep using it. And then more leaves will grow. You can see right there, there's a little tiny baby leaf getting ready to come out. You see that little tiny baby leaf right there? Yeah. And that one right there. And these two. It's going to have lots of leaves, so that means I can keep... That one's dead. That leaf fell off. It happens with a plant. You know, plants are like that. We plant them as a little tiny seed. We plant a little tiny seed, and then it grows, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. And sometimes our faith is like that, too. Sometimes we feel like our faith is small. But when we keep learning about God and we keep coming to church and reading the Bible, we grow in our faith and it gets bigger and bigger. How about we all have a prayer together? That's another way that we can grow in our faith. Let's pray. Yes, thank you for show and tell today and sharing that with us. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for seeds and plants that grow in the world, and we thank you for the ways in which our faith grows. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming today. You have a garden and chickens. As the children are headed out to worship and wonder and Sunday school, I'd like to draw your attention to the back of the bulletin where our prayer concerns are listed. Our card shower today is for Stan McIrvin. Stan continues to have issues with his knee. He had been scheduled for knee replacement surgery on March 6th. That has been postponed because there are still signs of infection. So it's a long haul for Stan and for Darlene as she's caring for him. Please pray for healing and for strength for both of them. Prayers of sympathy for our music director, Amber French, at the passing of her aunt, Sandy. We continue to pray for those who are living with cancer. Travis Hytrek is at University Hospital in Denver. I talked with Nina this morning. He has an infection in his blood, and the doctors are not sure the best treatment to give for him to be able to fight that, as well as the liver cancer that he's struggling with. So she called just to ask for your prayers today, especially. I have a note to share from Mark Steinley. Dear church members, thank you for the Valentine cookies and prayer shawl that were given to me. Pam and I enjoyed these and the visit from Pastor Cynthia. We feel blessed that our church family continues to pray for me. My cancer returned last week, so I'm not allowed to be around large groups. Thanks a lot, and God bless. Mark Steinle. Mark and Pam will be going back to Denver tomorrow to meet with his oncologist there. He's understandably somewhat discouraged at a sign that the cancer has returned. At this point, it's showing up in the DNA markers, but it is not yet in the bone marrow, so that is still encouraging. They don't know if he will have to have another round of the stem cell treatment where he receives a bone marrow transplant, which is what he went through last year, a process that takes about 6 months. Right now, he's feeling very good, and he's thankful that he can go back and forth to Denver and still be in his own home. So please continue to pray for Mark and Pam Steinle. They truly appreciate your support. On the list of our community and world concerns, we're lifting up Lauren Cabot, who serves as a missionary in Chile. And our prayer partner sheet at the back of the sanctuary, if you'd like to sign and send greetings. This week, we are praying for our Savior's Lutheran Church. It's an ELCA congregation here in Casper, and their interim pastor is Stephanie. Prayers for her and for that church at this time. At chapel today, there was a prayer request given for Kent Niebuhr, a longtime friend of some of our members, very active at the American Baptist Church in town. Kent has been diagnosed with leukemia. It is sad news for his family, so prayers for them. Are there other concerns today that we want to share or joys that we want to lift up this morning? In case you couldn't hear, Diane and Zoe suffered the loss of a kitty, a dear pet, part of their family, and they have adoption papers for a new kitten. So prayers for them at this time. Madison.
Prayers for a really good friend, Brianna DeGroote. She just got diagnosed with a condition called Ehlers-Danlos. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but basically it's an overflexibility in all of her joints. And so the doctors have basically given up trying to fix her knees, and they told her she's going to be in chronic pain for the rest of her life, and she's only 21. So prayers for her. She's not dealing with it very well. So.
Prayers for Madison's friend, Brianne DeGroote, who's had a hard diagnosis. Debbie. What a blessing to have six young people from the Anglican Church of the Resurrection share yesterday at the Sandwich Ministry and hand out food at King's Corner, even while they were going through the 30-hour famine. Thank you for raising that concern. You know, there are people who receive donations, such as from our Sandwich Ministry and many other charities in town. Some of those people are extremely grateful and thankful, and there are others who take advantage of generosity, and they do nothing for themselves to try to work or try to give back to their community. We pray that those hardened hearts would be softened by God's love, and they would be touched by generosity and learn to give to others. Are there other concerns today? Let us turn to God now in a time of silence as we pray together. O God of grace and glory. Every prayer that we offer to you is like a small seed planted in the world. By your love, it is tended and grows. God, we pray for those who need seeds of hope in their lives. We pray for people whose life circumstances have hardened their hearts. We pray specifically for those who take and never give. We are humbled, Lord, when you bless us with enough that we can share with others. We pray that the sharing and the receiving both would bring glory to you. Holy God, we thank you for the work of Habitat for Humanity that we heard about in Sunday school today. We thank you for Habitat and other programs that are not a handout, but a hand up, a way for people to work, to earn, to find a home and have a chance to step out of poverty and have a successful, meaningful life. Oh God, we pray for those who need seeds of healing in their lives. We pray for Stan that you would help his body to fight the infection in his knee. We pray for Mark Steinle as he returns to Denver. We ask for wisdom for the medical staff, for courage for Mark and Pam, for your healing and strength to surround them. We pray for Travis and his mom, Nina, as they're at University Hospital. God, watch over them. Lord, we join with Madison in praying for her friend, Brianne DeGroote, for a young woman with a hard diagnosis for which there seems to be no treatment. Oh God, we pray that you would make her spirit strong and give her courage to live through physical pain, to continue to strive, to do well in life, and to know that she is loved. We thank you, Lord, for youth from the Anglican Church serving at the Sandwich Ministry and experiencing the 30-hour famine. In this world of abundance, there are many who are hungry. For those who have no bread, we pray for food. For those who have bread, we pray for willingness to share. And for those who should be willing to work for their bread, we pray for the courage to do so and the opportunities to find jobs. Lord, for those who need seeds of peace in their lives, we pray for comfort in the face of grief. Be with Amber as she mourns her aunt's passing. Be with Diane and Zoe in a time of change in their home. Oh God, we pray for Kent Nyber in the diagnosis of leukemia that you would give him courage. We thank you for Lauren Kabat and the missionary work that she does in Chile. We pray for Pastor Stephanie and the members at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. Oh God, for all of those who have received the seed of the gospel, we pray for the courage to plant your word in the world, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Holy and gracious God, there are many prayers that we bring to you. Those we speak aloud and those we hold in silence in our hearts. For all that we pray in the name of Christ, we thank you, God, that you listen and respond. Amen. Thank you.
There is something very welcoming and affirming about an invitation to a meal. When someone cares enough about us to cook a meal for us or invite us out to eat, we know that we are valued. It can be a soup supper when you arrive home for a visit with your parents and are tired of traveling. Can be a group of friends getting together for breakfast or lunch. It can be a Sunday night supper of lasagna or pizza or roast. And the invitation is as simple as mom or dad or husband or wife or grandma or grandpa calling out, "Come on, dinner's ready." But every Sunday morning, Jesus, who loved and cared about us and valued us enough to die for our sins, invites us to share this meal as we remember his everlasting love. You can hear him calling, "Come on, it's ready for you."
Thank you.
God breaks our hearts of stone and gives us hearts for love alone. Finest bread God provides. As we come here to this table, we remember long ago when Jesus met with his friends at another table in the upper room. While they were there together, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. All who long to know God's love in Christ are welcome to share in this feast today. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
God, help us to prepare our minds and hearts as we partake of the bread and cup, the two beautiful symbols of Christ's body broken for us, shed for us. We are thankful for that sacrifice, for your everlasting love, and for your amazing grace. Amen.
Thank you. Our moment for mission is entitled, Here is Home. For as long as he can remember, William has loved listening to rain on the roof of his rural South Carolina home. But last October, it rained without a break for more than a week. 50-year-old William said, the rain was so heavy that the water leaked in through all the edges of my home, including the roof and door and window frames. I had towels all around trying to soak up the water. He duct taped cardboard everywhere to keep the water saturated, mold infested, warping, drooping walls and ceilings from falling in. They say you can fix anything with duct tape, he said. But after a certain point, there was nothing left to stick the duct tape to. It was a mess. Once the rain stopped, it was a challenge to face recovering with very modest means. Williams worked as a standing forklift operator, but he had to go on medical disability when he developed leg problems. His wife is also on medical disability, and they have a growing teenage son. The family didn't have insurance because annual premiums were higher than the value of their home. They were declared ineligible for federal disaster assistance, even though he is a U.S. veteran. I had no choices, he said, until a FEMA representative referred him to a joint program, a week of compassion, and disciples volunteering in partnership with the disaster ministries of the United Church of Christ and Church of the Brethren. The organization said it would come to help me, William said. Volunteers assessed the damage, and a few gentlemen came out before Memorial Day and staged supplies at the end of my home. The first volunteer work crew came in the following week. William marveled at the unselfishness of volunteers who came from other states to spend a whole week at a time to help. Volunteers repaired and tarred the roof, which has proven to be an effective barrier against recent downpours. I still love to hear rain on the roof, so long as it's not for 8 days straight. William commented, inside the home, soggy ceilings have been torn out and replaced, along with a kitchen floor and sections of sheetrock. It's not easy living in a construction zone and constantly fighting dust. But William said he is grateful the family is able to stay in their home. Especially with our health issues, no way could we have continued to live in here, especially with the mold. We could have ended up homeless. William is here in his home thanks to your generosity. Thank you for being here for him through your giving from the Week of Compassion. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Thank you.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for all the blessings of life. Receive now these tithes and offerings as a sign of the gratitude in our hearts. Amen.
Thank you. Now, I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, and it'll be on page 30 in your hymnal, your Bible that's before you. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Well, then he said to them, "I'm deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want, Lord." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me just 1 hour? Well, stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit, indeed, is willing, but the flesh is weak." This ends the reading.
Our second reading of scripture today comes from the book of Genesis, the second chapter, beginning at verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful message and music today. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we stand before you eager to receive your word, planted like seeds in our souls that we may grow in faith and bear fruit for you. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This Wednesday, we will have an Ash Wednesday service, and we'll mark the beginning of the season of Lent. Lent is observed among many Christians as 40 days of preparation leading up to Easter. Like the word Christmas, the word Lent doesn't actually show up in the Bible, but it is rooted in Scripture. We remember the 40 days that Jesus fasted in the wilderness before the beginning of his ministry. So we too spend 40 days of preparation. This year, during the season of Lent, our Sunday morning sermons will focus on the stations of the cross. If you've ever visited a Catholic church, no doubt you've seen plaques on the wall around the sanctuary, sometimes just bearing a simple Roman numeral, 1 through 12 or 13. Sometimes those numbers are accompanied by pictures, images, artwork. The story of the stations of the cross tells the story of Jesus' journey in Jerusalem when he was arrested and tried and carried his cross to the place of crucifixion. During this season of Lent, we'll reflect on each of those stations of the cross as a means of rooting ourselves in prayer tied to long-standing Christian traditions. This morning, you're invited to reflect on the first station of the cross, which is the Garden of Gethsemane. In numerous places in Scripture, we find imagery of gardens. The first and perhaps most familiar for us is the story of the Garden of Eden. The book of Genesis begins with two different tellings of the story of creation. In Genesis 1, we hear of God making the world in seven different steps. Out of darkness, God called forth light. God called forth plants and then animals and finally created humanity. In Genesis 2, the creation story is told again through the story of Adam and Eve. We're told that God scooped up mud or earth or clay and created Adam, man, and then took a rib from Adam and made Adamah, woman. And together, the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, were placed in the garden. God places humanity, all of us, men and women made in God's own image, God places us in the garden of the world and tells us to care for creation. This morning, I invite us to reflect on two different gardens. The Garden of Eden that represents the beauty of the world which God has made, and the Garden of Gethsemane, which reminds us of the sorrow of Christ. He took with him his apostles and went to the garden to pray. And there, Jesus knew the burden of all the sins of the world. And he wept, even saying at one point, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Yet not my will be done, but thine." Not just once, but actually, if we continue reading in Matthew, three different times, Jesus' apostles fell asleep. Here was the Savior of the world, his heart breaking for humanity's sin, and his best friends couldn't even stay awake. Once, twice, three times, Jesus goes and wakes them and asks them to watch with him. On our faith journeys, are we in the Garden of Eden or the Garden of Gethsemane? Perhaps at different times we find ourselves symbolically in both of those places. Perhaps there are times when you look at the beauty of the world around you and you are moved by the glory of creation to give thanks to the Creator, moved to marvel at the world that God has made, the care that is evident in a single blooming flower and the majesty of a towering mountain. It's a Garden of Eden moment when you're stirred by the beauty of creation to give thanks to God and reminded that each of us have a responsibility to care for this world in which we live. Perhaps there are other times that rather than the Garden of Eden, we're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Perhaps there have been moments in your own life when sorrow has weighed you down, when you have known a burden, a grief, a loss so great that you don't seem able to bear it yourself, and there's nothing left to do but pray and weep, and perhaps even ask, Lord, if it's possible, can't this be taken from me? But thy will be done. Perhaps in those Garden of Gethsemane moments, we are instead rather like the disciples, unintentionally or intentionally, a bit like sleepwalkers, moving through life not wanting to look at the pain or the suffering around us. Perhaps like the disciples, we would rather just keep our eyes closed because we're overwhelmed by the agony of others or even our own sin. The journey of Lent is a journey of honest self-reflection, looking at ourselves and pondering with honest awareness how far from God's glory we yet are, how much we still need the forgiveness of Christ. In this coming weeks, as we pray together our way through the journeys of the stations of the cross, as we remember the struggle and the journey that Christ took, I invite us to find ourselves in that story at some point. This morning, are you in the Garden of Eden praising God for the beauty and glory of creation? Perhaps your heart is light and happy. May you rejoice. Perhaps instead today is a Garden of Gethsemane time. You're struggling with a burden you haven't even told anyone else about. But God knows. God looks within our hearts and understands our lives and comes to be in the garden with us. The theme this year for the Week of Compassion Offering is the simple phrase, you are here. That's part of the practice of walking the stations of the cross, knowing that we are in those places where Jesus walked. Whether it's in an outdoor garden or looking at the walls of a sanctuary in a church or even walking the very streets of Jerusalem. Symbolically, when we pray the stations of the cross, when we remember the journey that Jesus took from Jerusalem to Golgotha, we are there. We are there when Jesus is crucified, and he is here with us in the gardens of our lives, in all those places of joy and those places of pain. Oh God, you are here. God is with us. When we live in Wyoming and we look at the glory of creation, from the majesty of the Tetons to the swiftness of the pronghorn, the flash of a trout in the North Platte River, or the strength of a bison, we see God's glory and we are blessed to live in this place. Yet life in Wyoming also has hints of Gethsemane. When our economy struggles, our neighbors and sometimes ourselves look for work, and it becomes a discouraging burden. There are times when culturally we are blinded to our own sin. Wyoming is indeed a place of beauty, but it can also be a place of challenge. Hidden under the surface, perhaps someplace we don't want to look or even talk about. There are people who have prejudices that come from the sin of racism. Our Arapaho and Shoshone neighbors live in endemic poverty inherited from one generation to the next. And though it's not my fault, I'm not personally responsible for the plight of Indians on the Wind River Reservation, they are my neighbors. If I'm in Gethsemane, will I pray for them or will I close my eyes and harden my heart? In Wyoming, we live in a land of contrasts. We have neighbors who struggle with their own sexual identity. We have friends and even relatives who may be gay or lesbian or questioning. struggling to find their way in the world, or feeling unwelcome by others even when they know who they are and how they're made to be. Wyoming is such a beautiful, powerful place, yet it's also the place where hatred led to the death of Matthew Shepard. It's part of our legacy just by living here. It makes us uncomfortable to talk about, so perhaps we want to be somnambulists, sleepwalkers, people who close our eyes and don't even think about hatred in the world because we don't want it in our own hearts. And so we fail to hear the cry of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet you are here. This is where we live. This is the challenging world in which we have been placed. That is both a Garden of Gethsemane and a Garden of Eden. And each of us has a responsibility in this world to speak truth and to live love. You are here. God is here with us in the places where we have questions and uncertainty, in those moments when we have struggle, when we long for our faith to be shared, and yet perhaps we are afraid. Are you living this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane or the Garden of Eden? Or perhaps both? In the moment for mission that we heard this morning, we heard the story of William, who lives in the Carolinas, a place with rolling green hills, beautiful trees, verdant valleys, a place in some ways that looks like a Garden of Eden, and yet a place that, like Wyoming, has known times and periods of heartache and poverty. In the story of William, when his mobile home was destroyed by a flood and 8 days of rain, we heard of the hope of volunteers who came and gave of their own time to help someone they didn't know rebuild a house. And God was there. You were there. In a world that has both beauty and suffering, Christ comes to be present. And Christ invites us to join him on the journey that leads to God's love that goes through the pain of the cross. Today we begin our journey towards Easter. Whether you're starting from the Garden of Gethsemane or the Garden of Eden, may your eyes and your hearts be open this Lenten season to know and to love God and to grow in your faith. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 183, "We Meet You, O Christ." If there's anyone here this morning who's never given your heart to Jesus, ask the Lord to be your Savior. We encourage you to do so today. If you're looking for a church home, we welcome you here by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. Let us stand and sing together, "We Meet You, O Christ." Thank you. Our hope indeed is in Jesus Christ in times of struggle and times of joy. He is what brings us together and gives us hope for life in this world. All here are welcome to a time of fellowship downstairs in Fellowship Hall. We hope you'll stay for a few minutes, visit with one another, enjoy a cup of coffee and some refreshments. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh Lord Jesus, in the garden, after your resurrection, Mary thought you were the gardener until you called her by name. And then she saw you and recognized you as her risen Savior. Lord Jesus, this week, call us by name. Help us to see you in the gardens of our lives. Help us to stay awake and to proclaim your truth. Amen. Ooh.